second hour of the show, The Global Gamers. We welcome listeners in Western Australia, and it's time to talk Premier League with former Norwich, Leicester Derby and Manchester City defender, most importantly, of course, Spencer Pryor. Evening, Treacle. How are you?
Mate, so many clubs, didn't I? I was a proper clubman, journeyman.
Jack Nicklaus. Did you kiss every single badge that you played for?
Nope.
Which ones did you leave out? Well, Cardiff, obviously. I know that.
I don't think I was a badge kisser. I might have kissed the Man City badge when I was scoring a winning goal or Grimsby.
Oh, brilliant. I was there that day, but you know that. Manchester United 0, Liverpool 5. That was the big headline for the weekend. We seem to have been talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's future for some time. But those conversations have only really revved up since the weekend. Is Antonio Conte the man waiting in the wings? Is it just a matter of time, do you think?
I don't know. I'm interested in what your views are. Like, would you consider... I mean, he's got a super experience. Would you consider bringing, like, Steve Bruce in for a bit?
Are you being serious? Come on.
Look, I think he'd be brilliant alongside Harry Maguire. He might shore up the defence a little bit.
Hey! And there we are. He's here all week, like the schnitzel. Now give us an honest answer. Look, go on.
He's gone. I mean, they've got some nice, easy fixtures coming up as well. The next home game's against Man City, which is going to be a right thriller.
They normally beat us, to be fair.
But the motivation now really is the teams that will be playing against Man United. I know it's you don't want to set them off on a nice little run. So they're really, really struggling. Honestly, and I mentioned Harry Maguire, he's bobbins at the moment. He's really, really struggling for confidence. At the back, £85 million. Leicester pulled the pants down and he's struggling. You need your captain to be at the absolute pinnacle of the one that's motivating the team. And he's shot. I mean, he's been awful the last few weeks. We've talked about their imbalance in the side. The first goal that Liverpool scored was it was a press, but not a press. And they got completely pulled apart. And it was like a training ground goal for Liverpool. No one got within 5 yards of any player. And it's completely disorganized. And that's set by the manager, right? That's completely set by the manager, whether they're going to press or they're not. But you've got to do it all together. And they just don't look like they know what they're doing.
Bobbins is such a Mancunian word. I know exactly where you got that from. Talking of Manchester Derby, which is coming up shortly, you played in an infamous derby in 2001 against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when Roy Keane, you might remember this, virtually ended Alfinger Haaland's career. Now, knowing you now as I do, I'm surprised you didn't actually get into that little skirmish and sort Roy Keane out.
None of us did.
Did you run
None
away?
None of us did. No, we were all there, but... I'll be respectful with this, but I think there was a bit of retribution because of something Alfie had done.
Yeah.
So I can't say, I can't say I understand why he did what he did, but it was retribution. And at the time, it wasn't fiery enough to say, you know, that was out of order.
Not fiery enough. He nearly took his leg off. Sped.
I know he did, but it was retribute. It was a bit of a payback challenge, and you know, it was naughty, but I kind of I can't say I understand why he did what he did, but it had been festering for a long time, the feud between those two. Let those two sort it out, really, and it didn't really end very well.
Interesting.
Not for one of them, definitely. Spen, I wanted to go back to Manchester United. I mean, everywhere we look, it's all over the news, right? It's all about Ole and Man United at the moment. I wanted to see what you think about it. Is it simply a case of just Ole not being good enough? You spoke about tactically there how disjointed they look. Or, you know, some people have the opinion that, you know, the pressures that come with Ronaldo now being back at the club. You've got to play him. Where do you play him? How does he fit in with the guys around him? The pressure with that. Is that an issue as well? What do you think it comes down to when you analyse it?
Broski, you know, as a centre forward, if you're playing there, you've got to do the doggy work as well, and you've actually got to track back, and you've got to support your, you know, you're the first line of defence. You really are. And I'm not sure. Look, he's 36 years old. I'm not sure he wants to do that side of it now. And it has changed the dynamics of the team. Everybody spoke last year about Paul Pogba and him not wanting to do the hard bit and the defending. I actually felt for Paul Pogba on at the weekend. I mean, he comes on at 4-0 down at half time. I'm really not surprised he gets sent off, because his motivation would have, you know, his head's all over the place. He's had to sit on the bench because the gaffer thinks he's not good enough to be in the starting side that week. And then he sticks him on at 4-0 down, probably saying, go and change the game for us, son. In fact, what he actually does is his red rage, sees the miss, and he gets himself sent off and throws his team under the bus. But from Ronaldo's perspective, it has changed the team dynamics to fit him in. And it's a very, very brave manager that says, mate, I need to go a different route. So,
and the interesting thing is that if Antonio Conte ends up as the Manchester United manager, he has reportedly said exactly that, that I need to be in charge of the transfers, and we don't just go after marquee signings. They've got to fit into a team structure. It'll be fascinating 100%. To see if that eventuates. We've got to move away from Manchester United. I want to ask you, Spenner, about another one of your old clubs at Norwich City, still bottom, only 2 points. They copped 7 on the jaw at Chelsea at the weekend. This weekend, they've got second bottom Newcastle, who, of course, are now under new owners, and talking to Lucien Favre, apparently, about the manager's gig. How big is this game for the Canaries? Because, really, you fear for them, don't you, this season?
Broski thought they were going to get a result last week.
You did too, didn't you?
I forgot that, Broski.
No, I was going to ask
but, you. Yeah, I know. And to be fair, I said Chelsea could play the kids, and they probably could have. But they are really struggling for... It looks like they... I mean, I saw something from Darren Huckabee, who's a club legend, and, you know, we accept defeats as former players of the clubs of the club. We accept that the team's going to lose, right? But a lack of effort, lack of motivation, that's something that you can never have as a player. And they really look demotivated, not just disjointed as a team, but there just seems to be a lack of effort. And I can't accuse the players of that, but that's the perception at the moment, is the effort isn't there. Now, you can't just not put effort in against Chelsea and then expect to turn it on against Newcastle in a game that you really do need to win. I'm fearful for the club, but then again, the way that they've gone and dealt in the transfer market, they've not blown the budget that then will leave them with a legacy if they go back to the Championship that's going to bankrupt the club. So,
right.
They're doing it their way. They've built a load of new infrastructure at the training ground. So they're investing, but in facilities rather than in the team, per se.
Talking of money, Derby County might have finally found some buyers. US businessman Chris Kirchner has announced his intention to buy the club. In the meantime, the Rams have appealed their 12-point deduction that sees them sitting bottom of the Championship with 3 wins and an adjusted total of 5 points. Mm-hmm. So maybe some good news for another one of your old clubs at long last. Yeah. Let's talk about the Carabao Cup. Arsenal are into the last eight. Is it fair to say this could potentially be the most important tournament of the season for Mikel Arteta? Because this is one that they could genuinely have a chance of winning, the Gunners.
You know, obviously now, I mean, we're going to see a new winner for the first time since 2016, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say, not 19. I mean, we've not won in 20-odd years straight.
No, I think in 2019. 26, I think it's 2019, but no, 2016, I think, yes, was the last time we, you know, so it's blown wide open. I think West Ham are incredibly strong and playing good football and confident, but you know, it's the first chance to win silverware. Yeah, it's valuable for Arsenal, but all the clubs will be that are still in you know, they're super motivated to win the first piece of silverware of the season. It can keep managers' jobs. And like you said, Arteta will be... He won't be putting all his eggs in that basket because they're still really focused on the Premier League, right? So that is a big thing for them. But every manager will approach that cup super seriously because it can keep them in the jobs if they miss out on Champions League, particularly a club like Arsenal.
Well, particularly when you look at the teams that are still left in it. You mentioned West Ham. They edged out Manchester City on penalties after a goalless draw this morning in London. The first time City have been knocked out of the competition, as you rightly say. They've won the tournament the last 4 years in a row. Preston 0, Liverpool 2. So Liverpool will certainly fancy their chances of getting through to Wembley. Tottenham, of course, without a trophy since 2008. They won 1-0 at Burnley. And what about Brentford, Spenner? They beat Stoke 2-1 away from home. Could Brentford win a major trophy? How big would that be?
But you always, you know, we had that with Leicester, Simon, where we came up from the Championship, and in this first season up, we won the Cup. So it's, I mean, again, they'll still be focused on the Premier League, making sure that they'll want to make sure they get to the 40 points as quick as they can in the Premier League, but The cup competitions, you know, the teams in that have been in the Championship, come up to the Premier League, adapted. You do get these freakish things with clubs, and yeah, I mean they're going super well in the cup. They're going great in the Premier League. They could. I mean, I fancy Leicester. I'm going to put Leicester really in the mix again. Yeah. They've got a brilliant history in it. Brilliant history. The only thing that might stop him is his rotation of players. And, I mean, he rested an awful lot of players in last night for the game. So I think that could be their downfall. But Brentford, yeah, maybe they could.
Leicester, of course, edged out Brighton also on penalties after a 2-2 draw in that competition. I'm a massive fan of how Brentford play. I just think they've been such a good addition to the Premier League this season. Final one, I've got to ask you about my boys at Manchester City. I'm not sure the exit from the Carabao Cup will trouble them unduly, given that they've won it the last four seasons. In some ways, it might be a good thing for them to be able to focus a little bit more on the Champions League. I know they're focused on it a lot anyway, but maybe no bad thing going out of the Carabao Cup. Or is that me trying to put too sweet a hue on it?
I love your positivity around it, Simon. But the cup for Man City was an opportunity to give players valuable minutes.
That's true.
You see Raheem Sterling getting a massive amount of minutes under his belt. That tournament was something where he could rotate the players and give meaningful minutes in real competitive games to players that might not have got that before. So, I watched Pep in the team talk before the penalties. He was really, really up for it. So he'd be hugely disappointed. I was disappointed with the keeper. He looked like he had Kit Kat fingers. He got his hands through the penalties. But, you know, he should be saving one of them. He got his hand to two of them. So he should be saving one of them.
Kit Kat fingers and bobbins. It's been an absolute exemplary cross tonight, Spenner. We should let you go. Thanks for your time. We'll speak to you next week.
See you, Spenner.
Take care. See ya.
See you, Treacle. That's Spencer Pryor. Broski is a Liverpool fan. Are you going to win the Premier League this year?
I think they can. I definitely think they can. I think, just... the amount of confidence they're playing with at the moment, they seem like the team that won it a couple of years ago. So to me, I'm enjoying watching them play. Mo Salah's in incredible form. A lot of talk about Mo Salah, Mane last year, you know, and the things that seem to disrupt the squad, but this year just doesn't seem to be there. They seem to be all in sync, the only unbeaten side so far. I mean, I'd love to see them go through and become the new Invincibles. Do you reckon it's possible?
Well, it's certainly possible, and I think you're right. I think it's between Liverpool, Chelsea and Manchester City for the title. I can't see anybody else challenging. However, long way to go. We've got about 3/4 of an hour's left of our show, so we should get to this ad break, and then we'll be back with the rest of the news from around the world after that.